Good evening, friends. And a very warm welcome to our service of Holy Communion on this Maundy Thursday evening. It's so good that you could join us to come aside, to be here, to remember the events of Holy Week. Here we have before us the reminders of this week, the palm branches of Palm Sunday. Today they laid on the roads and streets of Jerusalem. We remember how Jesus on Maundy Thursday evening took the towel and the bowl and, giving his disciples an example, he washed their feet and dried them with a towel, saying, "As I have loved you, so you should love one another." And he shared with them the bread and the wine of the Passover meal, looking back and remembering the great story of God's deliverance in the Exodus, and Jesus giving that meal fresh meaning as he spoke of himself being the new covenant, the new agreement with God, made possible by his blood. And we see here the bag of coins reminding us of how Judas sold himself for 30 pieces of silver to bring Jesus to the soldiers. And how on that evening Jesus was arrested, imprisoned, underwent a false trial by night, and then the next day took the whip on his back as he was scourged, and the crown of thorns, and finally the nails of the cross. And tonight we remember all of this in our service together. So let us just have a moment of silent prayer as we remind ourselves what it is that has brought us here tonight. Let us pray. So let's bring our worship to God now as we are able to stand and sing through twice, "Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son." Please be seated for our prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you invite us once again to follow in your footsteps. Not only when you go about doing good and announcing the good news, but also on your sorrowful journey through Holy Week. From the upper room, through the agony of the Garden of Gethsemane, and finally to Calvary and your death on the cross. May we accompany now in spirit as you give to your Father and the world the final proof of your love. May we see in you our salvation, hear from you words of comfort and warning, feel your compassion, relish your friendship with a world on the road of physical and mental anguish. With you, let us be cross bearers, not onlookers, scoffers or executioners, but partners in your work of redemption that continues until the end of time. Amen. The theme of our Thursday service tonight is Walk with Me, Walk with Me. The invitation of our Lord to follow the scenes of his life. And in particular tonight, the stations of the cross. And Joe is going to be sharing with me in the narration of the 14 stations of the cross, which will be featured on the screen. And we pray tonight, it's our prayer, that these images of those stations of the cross will help us to remember tonight, Maundy Thursday, but also take in the events that happened since, in the days of Good Friday. So I'll be seated as we follow these through. Our first station. Jesus is condemned to death. Our first station shows Jesus before his accusers. And you can see that our stations of the cross tonight are wooden carvings, and they are found in a church in Stenning, in West Sussex. And the figures are contemporary. The Roman soldier wears modern armour. Jesus was condemned by the Jewish high priest Caiaphas. He was taken to the court of Pontius Pilate. Pilate found no fault in Jesus and would have released Jesus after his severe flogging. But the crowd pressed for more. In fear, Pilate washed his hands of Jesus and handed him over to be crucified.
The prisoner looking beyond his captors, said little in his own defence, responding only in honesty and truth. Because of this, they'd already agreed his guilt. We remember the innocent ones condemned today, victims of war and violence, prisoners of conscience. We pray for all who are treated unjustly.
The second station, Jesus carries his cross. They led Jesus away for execution to a place beyond the city limits. They made Jesus carry his cross. The pointing finger, the stern order, move.
How do we accept the cross in our lives? Ill health, loneliness, failure or fear? Do we embrace them as Jesus did? And how do we respond to the suffering in our world? Do we unite with the victims in our prayer by placing them in the presence of God? Lord, you accepted your cross and began your final journey. It had to be done. So may I accept my cross, understanding that my journey cannot be made without it.
The third station of the cross, the first fall. The first fall of three in the stations of the cross. Weakened, his footsteps faltered as he stumbled. Hand outstretched, fearful of the ground. But Jesus carries on. We sometimes stumble in our Christian walk. The poet Tennyson wrote, "I falter where I firmly trod, and falling with my weight of cares upon the great world's altar stairs that slope through darkness up to God. I stretch lame hands of faith and grope and gather dust and chaff and call to what I feel is Lord of all and faintly trust the larger hope."
When we fall over and over again through the frailty of our human condition and our lack of faith, Lord, help us to rise and walk once more with you.
The fifth station. A mother meets her son. Prevented by the force of arms from coming close, a mother seeks her son, the disappeared one, taken from her in the night. Their eyes meet. Their hearts exchange a deep love. Soon Mary will be left with only her memories. What are Mary's thoughts as she is reunited with her suffering son on the road? Does Mary not experience and share the pain of all mothers whose children suffer through illness, whose children are missing, whose children are parted from them through national disasters, personal tragedy and loss.
Lord, how can a mother see her son suffer and not suffer herself? Yet step by step she stayed with you, from the Christmas stable to Nazareth and on to Cana. In a short while she'll be found standing by the cross. Now in this crowd of Passover people she is with you. Lord, we pray that as on the way of the cross you brought Mary and her son together, all families may be united once again in a bond of love.
The fifth station. Simon of Cyrene helps to carry the cross. Unable to walk on alone, a man is taken from the crowd and is told to help Jesus. There is no choice. Simon helps Jesus, maybe unwillingly, to carry the cross. Nevertheless, he does help. Did Simon think, why should I be roped in to do this? Why should I be singled out? And yet, what a privilege. Do we allow others to help us in times of great difficulty? Do we go out of our way to help others in time of need?
Simon was a face from the crowd, an extra shoulder and a pair of hands to share the load. May we give to others a lift on the way when their burdens have become too heavy to carry, expecting nothing, offering everything.
The sixth station of the cross. Jesus' face is wiped by a woman. Sweating with exhaustion from his ill treatment, Jesus pauses for breath. A woman, ignoring personal risk, wipes his face with a cloth. This incident is not recorded in the Gospels, but it seems likely that the women who followed Jesus did what they could to ease his suffering. Tradition has given this woman the name Veronica, which means true image. Legend has it that the face of Jesus and his crown of thorns was imprinted onto the cloth. Was his true image left behind? We don't know. It doesn't matter. But what we can say is that in her compassion, this woman shows the true image of Jesus in her heart. It is God's plan that we are transformed into the true image and likeness of Jesus.
Lord, who she was, where she came from, does not matter. She cared enough to risk all and asked for nothing in return. The longing to see the face of Christ, to know what he really looked like, is still with us to this day. Yet we see him face to face and see his true image when we look suffering in the eye and offer our care.
The seventh station, the second fall. The road gets steeper as it climbs to Calvary. Broken by pain, he falls again, the cross above, the thorns below. The second of three falls depicted in the stations of the cross. Falls not recorded in the Gospels, but we can imagine the weight of the cross and the burden of our sin and shame. And still, Jesus carries on.
Lord, be with all of us who stumble and fall as you did on the road to Calvary. Help us to rise up and go on in your strength.
The eighth station. The women of Jerusalem meet Jesus. Protesting at his treatment by the authorities, the women of peace gather by the roadside. Jesus breaks his silence to speak to these women. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and your children.
Lord, too often women have raised their voices at the folly of men. Too often they have been ignored. May we, their children, listen to their words and their cries, and hearing them, hear you. We pray for peace today.
So let us take a quiet moment now to pray for peace. And to pray for peace for those on our hearts tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. Amen. We're now going to pause on the way of the cross as we stand to sing, Come and See the King of Love.
Come and see the King.
The ninth station of the cross marks the third fall of Christ on the way to the cross. Jesus, face down in the dry dust, unrecognizable, voiceless, the cross is in place. We are at Golgotha, the hill of the skull. We can link this fall of Jesus to his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. There, Jesus, weighed down by the task before him, fell to the ground three times and cried out to his heavenly Father for strength to carry on.
As followers of Jesus, we also fall time and again, like Peter, who denied his Lord three times. Even when we fall and fail, the Lord looks on us with love.
The tenth station. Jesus is stripped. In the upper room, Jesus took off his outer robe for dignified service. Here at the cross, he is stripped by force. He is prepared for public shame. Bruised, he is silent. With shoulders bared, he accepts the inevitable. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, is prepared for sacrifice. Like a prize fighter removing his shirt for the greatest battle, his clothing is torn away from his body. Love is revealed in its starkest form, besides the crowd awaiting.
Lord, strip us of all we carry. Strip us of everything that prevents us from carrying the cross. Strip us of all attachment to the things of this world, in order that our crucified and risen Lord may dwell fully in us. And when we are stripped, be there to sustain us.
The 11th station. Jesus is nailed to the cross. The body of Jesus, the Son of God, is now secured to the instrument of torture. And people's inhumanity to one another is revealed. But are things any different today? We reflect on the persecution and destruction of one race by another, and on the violence of crime today. Jesus is nailed to the wooden frame that stretched wide his arms and secured his feet. So I ask you to stand with me as Mike comes forward to hammer the nails into our Lent cross. Please be seated.
Lord, the hammering of nails has echoed across this earth as we repeatedly crucify you. Man against man, nation against nation. We pray for all those in our world today whose intention is the destruction of another. Yet from that cross of suffering, with failing voice, you called, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive us.
The 12th station. Jesus dies on the cross. Naked on the cross, he gazed at those whose fists were raised in anger until he could see no more. Darkness is closing in. Confusion, chaos, despair. There in the late afternoon, with head bowed, body and spirit exhausted, he ceased the struggle. It was finished.
Lord, how are we to understand those late hours on a Friday before Passover? How can we share the emptiness of those who walked with you, seeing you now hung between thieves? So this was where all the hours and days of walking and talking, preaching and healing finally ended? A cruel death on a hill. The crowd, satisfied, little knowing the work of salvation, finished. Before the mystery of the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross, we fall silent.
The 13th station. Jesus rests in his mother's arms. The torment and agony of the crucifixion is over. His journey of suffering was behind him, his task complete. Failure in the sight of men, but in truth a victory waiting to be revealed. The Spirit of Jesus was safe in the hands of his Heavenly Father. Silence and darkness enveloped Calvary. Lifeless, his savaged body lay cradled in the caring arms of his mother, Mary. She held him while last-minute preparations were made for his burial.
Mary shares the thoughts of all who hold close to them a loved one who has died. We remember them today. This is our prayer. Lord, take all whom you have called from this world into your eternal light, your life and your peace.
The 14th station of the cross. Jesus is buried. Deeper darkness still. Jesus is laid to rest. His body placed inside a brand new tomb. They laid him out before the last light and the coming festival. They covered him with a shroud. His body like a buried seed, a seed about to germinate. we picture his mother Mary looking up to God. She saw the Lord's anointed taken, saw her child in death forsaken. Her deep cry of grief echoes in the tomb. Her question, why? Then, as darkness falls, the mourners left him. It is time we were gone.
Lord, it is over. The way of the cross has been walked. The story has been told and prophecy fulfilled. What now, they must have asked to one another as they walked into the chill night air.
In our hearts, let us kneel at the cross and wonder at the mystery of his love. As we prepare to share the Lord's Supper, let us now listen to and reflect on the words of a song called Let Us Kneel.
See the scandal and the glory.
So we cast our minds back to the upper room. As we look back with thanksgiving, just as Jesus and his disciples did, but we also look forward today as we share bread and wine. For this is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. It speaks of a future celebration. The Apostle Paul recounted the story of the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, writing these words: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, 'This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And Paul continued, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." So let us take a moment for silent confession before God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and keep us in life eternal. Amen. Let us join in saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I think we might just be able to use the space from one side of the church to the other to have everybody just stand together in a semicircle to receive the bread and wine. So I invite you to come forward to draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, and his blood, which was shed for you, to feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. From him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Go in peace. after supper, Jesus said, "I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. No longer is what we have been important. It is what with you we can be. Starting now. Amen. If you are not sure of the Easter services for tomorrow, the event of Easter Saturday, and also the services on Easter Day, please do come and ask me afterwards, and I'll put you in the picture. But I think you all know what's happening. And I do hope that you can join us for these special events that are coming up. The Apostle Creed affirms, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. So it was that the sculptor of those stations of the cross added a further station for Easter Day. Resurrection. It was early morning. The sun had not yet risen, but he had. Contained in the finger space of the morning dawn, the resurrected Christ greets Mary. With trembling hand, Mary reaches out to touch, to know, to believe. This is no apparition. This is Jesus. He is alive. There is a new creation. Rabboni, teacher, we did not trust you. We did not understand. We did not recognize you. We thought it was over. No, my people, it has just begun. And the work of God in the world continues through us as we go from here. So we can sing, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. So let's stand together as we sing that closing song. says, walk with me. Walk with me. God of love, keep us firmly on the true path, not flinching from any suffering this may entail. In our trials and sorrows, let us always remember the joy of the life that is to come. Amen. Go in peace. Walk in love, even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.